So, Peggy, you have 37 years of serving as the county's auditor, correct?
Yes.
What was that experience like as you look back on your time throughout your entire tenure?
It's been pretty exciting. There's been a lot of changes over the years. I mean, when I first started, I thought I knew what I was doing, but I really didn't. I learned a lot from the people along the way. My coworkers helped me learn things. The computer system that we have, they helped me learn a lot of things. So it's been just an amazing job. I never thought that this would be a career that I would get into, and that's what it turned into.
And you've kind of started touching on it already here a little bit, but what are some of those lessons that you have learned, and what are some things that you did face maybe that you didn't realize that would be part of being a county auditor?
Things that I have learned is if you mess something up, own it. Just tell everybody, okay, I screwed up. Here's what I did. Here's how we fix it. Let's go on. And it's never been anything so awful that it couldn't be fixed. But we all mess up things. We all make mistakes. You have to admit you're human and you go on from it. I've learned to be humble in this job. You never are the only person that does everything or controls everything. If you didn't have a team of people or a whole courthouse full of people working with you, you wouldn't get done the work that you get done. So it's all a big team. We've all worked together. We've all pulled hard. You put in a lot of hours. I had no idea that I'd be putting in as many hours as I do. I work a lot of nights, a lot of weekends, but you need to do that to get the job done sometimes. And I know I have a staff, but I don't want to overburden them either. So I try to share what I can with them and then do my job as well.
And now you truly did end your tenure on some very unprecedented notes, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic throughout this year, the 2020 election, of course, which was an unusual election by recent standards, so with all the mail-in ballots. So having that experience, having 37 years of experience under your belt, did that help? And what were some things that you faced and that you did during this year that people maybe didn't quite realize that you did that or you were part of the reason why the county was able to still function during this pandemic?
I don't think everybody realized when it first hit, the auditor as the custodian of the courthouse, along with the chairman of the Board of Supervisors, is supposed to keep the building up and running in good shape. I took it as my role to mean, let's make sure we have protective equipment for our staff. So I tried to make sure and have hand sanitizer, wherever I could find hand sanitizer. Luckily, we have a good group of auditors that share information. And people would send, you know, when the distilleries were starting to make hand sanitizer, because you couldn't get it anywhere else, or cleaning wipes, anything like that. I was sharing them with the sheriff's office. I was sharing them with conservation. I was sharing them with any of our outlying offices that needed any of that kind of equipment, masks, gloves, any little bit we had on hand, we shared with whoever we could, just trying to keep people safe, keep them at their jobs. We tried doing some split shifts for different departments, making sure that people could stay at home for a while as a continuity of operations to make sure the courthouse kept going. We were in the middle of an election, so my staff didn't get as much time off as what I would have liked to have given them, but they did what they could at home, and the rest had to be done up here. People don't realize in getting ready for an election, all the different polling places that you have to make sure that are still available. Some I weren't able to use like I had before. For the primary, we did a lot of combining of precincts. We felt it was necessary to do that because we didn't know how to keep people safe. We weren't sure exactly what our plan of attack was going to be. We had ideas, and you know, we made sure that everybody had masks and everybody had gloves and the barriers were up. But that's a lot easier to do when you only have a few precincts to set up. When you have all the precincts to set up like we did in November, we were ready by then. We knew exactly what we had to have in place to keep everybody safe and to keep the operation running. So it was much easier to do the general, and then having the knowledge of many generals behind us, I knew it would be extremely busy. It always is extremely busy. And you're going to get all the unusual cases in a presidential election that you would never get. All the election day registrations, all the provisional ballots. One thing that did happen that I was surprised was we kept trying to get the word out to people, get your ballot back. Get your ballot back as soon as you can. And people listened. They did. We did not have any ballots returned after, you know, the day that we canvassed. Anything that comes back after that doesn't get counted. We had absolutely none, not a one. And that is astounding because we always have some that trickle in at the very end, and then we have to send them a letter and say, we're sorry, your ballot didn't count. But people listened. I mean, not only did they bring them into our office, but they put them in the Dropbox. They put them in the mail. The ones that got back on time did get back on time, and they were counted. So it was nice to let the public know your ballot got here. We counted it. Everything was fine because there was a lot of coffee talk going on, and people were very unsure whether their ballot would count. Nobody realizes the enormity of an election like this. When you take over 6,000 registered voters, 6,700 people, and try to put them into different precincts throughout the county without overwhelming your election workers, bless their hearts. I have excellent election workers. I have many who have been here working elections with me from day one. And I have a lot of new ones this time who enjoyed themselves, said they would do it again. Would love to have them back. I mean, they're just nice, excellent people. I hope when the voters went to the polls, they had a good experience. Every time I checked on them, they were doing a great job. Everybody was very friendly, very helpful. So that's kind of my take on the general election.
And now the bittersweet moment is coming. You are retiring. So what is your plans, though, to fill your time now that you won't be working? And also, what are you looking forward to most here during your retirement?
I have a lot of hobbies, so I don't have any problem with my garden has kind of been neglected the last few years. I need to get my flowers back in shape. I promised our kids that they would not have to sort through the basement if anything happened to either of the two of us. And I have promised my husband, who's been my rock and my stress reliever, and he's been so patient and understanding all these years. He never questions when I work late. He never says, hey, you're not home very much. He just is there for me and my family. Tim, Corey, and Amy, my two sons and my daughter, have just been so supportive and so helpful. And I want to spend time with them. I want to spend time with my grandkids. I have 7 grandkids and a great-grandson, and I just need to spend more time with them, let them know how much I love them, especially during this time of COVID. I haven't been able to really hug them and let them know how much I care since this whole thing started in trying to make sure that I was here for elections, to make sure that I was here for the stuff that's ongoing my last year. I've kind of isolated myself from my family. I've been there, you know, with my husband, and I have gone to a few events with family, but just very briefly drop in, drop off a gift, and leave. I don't stay for very long, and I don't do hugs, so it's very hard to have been away from them that much. So I hope to make up for that, you know, get past this ugly quarantine period, and let's get on to living life.
Well, I certainly know that your family will love having you back around more, and I'm sure we are all ready to get back to a normal way of life. You are now passing the baton to Trish Erickson, who's been elected as your replacement, and you've worked with her for many years now. What do the people of Humboldt County need to know about Trish here and her capabilities to be the auditor?
Trish will do a great job. First off, she's got a good staff to work with. Trish is very personable. She's very caring. She'll listen to people who have issues. She'll help figure out what the answer is. You know, like when I started, you don't always know the answer right away, but you do. I mean, later you'll find out. You know someone who knows the answer, or you know a contact, or there's always a way to get an answer for you as long as people are understanding and can wait just a little bit. But she'll do a great job. She'll do whatever she can to help out the people. I see a good tradition of what I've started continuing.
All right, Peggy, I really appreciate your time today. Do you have any final thoughts before I let you off the line?
I also wanted to thank, as far as the election officials, thank not only them, but those out in the community that have let us use their facilities, like the city halls and the churches. We couldn't have done elections without those governing bodies saying, yes, you can use our facilities. So I wanted to thank them, too. But I wanted to wish everybody happy holidays. I won't be totally gone. I'll just be at home. So maybe I'll see you in the grocery store and we can say hi.